Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by California College of the Arts, offering extension courses focused on design, fine arts, and digital technology. Campuses in Rock Ridge, Oakland, and Potrero Hill in San Francisco. cca.edu/extension.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Later this year, California will open two new veterans' homes in Redding and Fresno. But a new state audit questions how efficiently the Department of Veterans Affairs is managing six existing homes. As the California Report's Scott Schaefer explains, the audit suggests ways to boost revenue without increasing state funding.
The California Department of Veterans Affairs, or CalVet, currently operates six homes where retired and disabled vets live and get care. The state has struggled to fill the beds, not for lack of demand, but rather for lack of money. While the state funds the homes, many costs could be reimbursed by the federal government and private insurers. But a state audit released Thursday finds that CalVet is generating less than half the revenues it spends for care. Margarita Fernandez of the State Auditor's Office says the agency is leaving potential reimbursement money on the table.
Really, CalVet hasn't been monitoring efforts on the veterans' homes to increase the revenues or to ensure that members are enrolled in other insurance, you know, private insurance or Medi-Cal or Medicare.
CalVet spokesman J.P. Tremblay acknowledges that more could be done to improve, but says the agency is already making progress.
We have been increasing the revenues and cutting costs, you know, by bringing about a net gain of about 7% or so in terms of efficiencies that have been brought in over the past couple of years through some of the initiatives that we've implemented.
California is home to nearly 2 million veterans, and 2,000 of them live in vets' homes run by the state. State Assemblyman Rocky Chavez is a Republican whose district includes Camp Pendleton Marine Corps Base. He says the audit was old news and focused on the wrong issues.
This audit highlights what they're currently doing. I would suggest it doesn't highlight what we should be doing.
Chavez, who was undersecretary for CalVet under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, would like to see the agency shift its priorities to do more for veterans not living in state facilities.
In particular, homeless veterans, women veterans, Native Americans, veterans who are living in rural areas.
Of course, that takes money, too. Governor Brown's budget proposal does include an additional $60 million for the agency. Most of it is to operate the veterans' homes opening later this year in Fresno and Redding. As for priorities, CalVet's J.P. Tremblay thinks it isn't a question of either or.
I don't think it needs to come down to being a choice between running the veterans' homes or doing the outreach and connecting veterans to the benefits that are provided through the federal VA. We need to do both.
An assembly committee will take up the audit findings next week. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
After California Democrats won big last fall, many pundits looking at the exit polls told us young voters and ethnic minority groups, especially Latinos, turned out in force. But new census numbers tell a different story, as the California Report's Tyke Hendricks explains.
Last November, California Democrats swept into supermajority power in the state legislature, and Proposition 30, Governor Jerry Brown's tax measure, passed with a solid 55%. According to conventional wisdom, college students worried tuition would shoot up if the measure failed, so they turned out in record numbers. Except they didn't. Detailed census data released this week shows turnout for 18 to 24-year-olds was way down. 4 in 10 eligible young people voted last year versus 5 in 10 in 2008. In fact, turnout rates were down for every age bracket and every racial and ethnic group in California. That's partly because the presidential race was less galvanizing than 4 years ago, says UC Irvine political scientist Louis DeCipio.
That combination of sort of somewhat lower levels of excitement in 2012 and reduced spending on get out the vote show up in the data that we see now from the Census Bureau.
Even though the turnout rates were down for Latinos and Asian Americans, the total number who voted increased. That's because they're a growing part of the electorate. Like African Americans, they're solidly in the Democratic camp, and that helps explain last year's results. But unlike African Americans and white voters, Asian and Latino voters are still less likely to vote, says DeCipio.
That calls for a greater investment in voter mobilization in those communities and voter education in those communities to ensure that their political voice is commensurate with their numbers.
One takeaway? Democrats may have done well, but they could do even better if they can get more young voters and non-white voters to turn out. For the California Report, I'm Tyke Hendricks.
When 8-year-old Jane Fernandez and her family moved to the U.S. from Cuba, she was excited for a new beginning. But then she was bullied by other kids in the fourth grade. As part of our occasional series, What's Your Story?, Fernandez tells us it started the second week of school when kids put a spider under her desk.
My teacher did nothing and let my classmates laugh at me. Later that year, someone else put dirty underwear below my desk. I hoped for things to get better, but by the sixth grade, I was depressed. I was put in an English as a second language classroom. That's when I stopped speaking in class. Things got worse next year. I had no friends at all. And I was getting bullied even more. The bullying kept coming, so I took karate lessons to defend myself. That helped. One day, one of the girls pulled me behind a bungalow and swung her fist at my face. But I blocked her and walked away. In high school, I changed. I got my braces off and wore new glasses and clothes that reflected my taste. Changing on the outside helped me feel different inside. I started talking to people because this would for sure be a brand new start. I'm still shy, but I am more confident. And that led me to people very different from me, from different ethnic and cultural backgrounds, different tastes and ideas. I figured I'm better off than bullies. They were only friends with people just like them. If I had the chance to talk to an 8-year-old going through what I went through, I would tell her to be herself. When you are who you are, it's the bullies who are the weak ones.
Jane Fernandez is a reporter with Alhambra Source Reporter Corps in Southern California, which trains young adults in journalism and storytelling so they can report on their own community. And finally today, a clarification on our story about the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge yesterday, which included Marwan Nader. His correct title is lead design engineer for the bridge's new self-anchoring suspension span. And that's the California Report for Friday, May 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Howard Gelman and Seal Muller. The directors are Paul Lancour and Vinnie Tong. Our interns are Gina Shalaba and Guy Maserati. The editing staff includes Victoria Malion, Dan Brecky, Tyke Hendricks, and Erica Kelly. Our producers are Nina Thorson and Sarah Bond. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.